Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
All right. Welcome back to Edge of Indy. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't seen us before, thanks for joining us. For the first time, you're going to love it. Stay right there this entire hour. This is Edge of Indy. If you don't know what we're doing here, we're focusing on local Indianapolis businesses, entrepreneurs and innovators, movers and shakers here in Indianapolis. We're also focusing on, I'm Aaron Sparks, by the way. I'm the owner of Site Strategics and host of Edge of Indy. We focus on so many different things around Indianapolis and organizations that are trying to help Indianapolis be an awesome place to live and visit. So we talk about choosing local, and choosing local often, that's what Edge of Indy is all about. So thanks again for joining us. To my right, we have Brittany Simpson, who is digital marketing strategist at Site Strategics. Hello, Brittany.
Hi. I'm a little scared today.
You are a little scared.
A little scared.
Why? Well, yeah, it's already September. How on earth could it actually be September?
That I do not know.
Well, 71 days from Thanksgiving, 103 days away from Christmas. But before we get there, we should probably plan on Halloween, right?
I think so.
Well, we're just 48 days away, and that's and that with the help of Children's Museum. I mean, the Halloween's about here, so we'd like to introduce two guests to the show. We have Leslie Olson, Public Relations Manager. Hi, Leslie.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. And we also have Liz Sewell, Indianapolis Children's Museum Guide. And you also have a very special title, don't you?
I do. So thanks for having me here. But my special title is one of the two head witches.
Oh. How do you get that job? Because I think I'm one of the two head witches around here.
Well, my husband thinks I am the head witch. So there you go.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get myself in trouble in a number of different ways here. And how did I get positioned next to the witch over here? How'd that all work out?
You're that lucky.
Hey, yeah. we have a giveaway that's happening from the Children's Museum today on the show, and we're actually going to be polling our Facebook Live feed, and the giveaway actually is, go ahead and throw it up on screen real quick. The giveaway is, do we have that on the, Well, ladies, why don't you tell us about the giveaway that we're doing?
Sure. So we have a fun Halloween basket. Mm-hmm. And inside that basket is some are four complimentary tickets to the Children's Museum Guild's Haunted House and this year, which runs October 7th through the 31st, so can't use them until opening day. We also have some fun Halloween baking accessories. So there's a dish towel in there.
Oh,
there's
cool.
a pirate or a skull and crossbone kind of piratey cookie cutter and some sprinkles. So some fun things to get you in the mood for Halloween.
Am I eligible to win that?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know there's any rules.
Are you a witch?
As a fellow witch.
Don't go there.
As a fellow witch, yeah.
So what we're doing is during the show, we're actually going to be watching a number of the comments that are participating. So, hey, to win, ask some questions of our guests as we're talking to them, and we'll pick from your comments at the end of the show. So, ladies, again, thank you so much for joining us. Now, your team doesn't celebrate just one day. You pretty much are celebrating all, I mean, during Halloween. You're celebrating all of October, right? Well, you're celebrating Halloween all of October.
Yes, we do. We do. Actually, in the Children's Museum Guild, we celebrate Halloween 365 days of the year.
That's awesome.
It really is a year-long process. But for the guests that come to the museum and to visit the haunted house, it is a month-long celebration. So we have a lot of great events, not just the actual haunted house themselves. So everyone can be a participant in some way and pick the event or events, hopefully more than one, that appeals to them and their family.
So the Guild has put on the haunted house for, was it 54 years now?
This has
been a long time.
It's the 54th year. It's the longest consecutive running haunted house in the nation.
How do you advance a haunted house year after year for 54 years? Like, that must be every single year you have to outdo yourself. So how do you go about that?
You do. Well, so the Guild, you do have to outdo yourself year after year. And we've always asked ourselves at some point, you know, where does it become the year that you don't outdo yourself, right? No one wants to be in charge of that year. So
yeah, it's going to be a lame year. We got to reset everything.
No, it really, so there's 100 women that are active in the guild.
Oh, wow.
It's a 6-year commitment.
100 witches.
100 witches, yes, 100 witches.
You can say that. I'm not going to say that.
So it takes the entire 100 witches to build the haunted house. We also have a lot of help from three artists that are also craftsmen, and they help us build and design the house. So we definitely couldn't do it without them as well. But and that's why I say it's a year-long process. We start planning the haunted house the August before the house opened. So our haunted house, we started planning in August of 2016.
So it's not an afterthought.
No, it is not an afterthought. It is very much a well-oiled machine at this point.
Absolutely. I've witnessed that in action. In fact, I brought my kids there a number of years ago. In fact, we also took them through a scouting lights open or lights on haunted house as well. So it's not just super scary. There's a lot of different things that you do for families, right?
There are. And that's one of the greatest things about this haunted house, I believe, that Liz could talk more about. But there are lights on experiences for children who scare easily. But there are also...
Or grown-ups who scare easily.
Exactly. Lights off experiences for those who want an extra thrill.
There we are.
Yeah. It's always going to be a safe place. We're not going to touch you or grab you or anything like that, but we may jump out and scare the heck out of you or something like that, unless you're a little child. And then we want it to be a memorable and fun experience.
And it was. And do you do that regularly for the scouts as well? Do you have a program each and every year?
Yes. Yeah, so we do have a program each year for the scouts. So this year, every day is Scout Day. And they actually can get their own haunted house patch.
That's right.
So that they can put on their uniform, so they can pick those up at the end of the house in our boutique.
Very cool. Very cool.
How long has there been a haunted house patch? I feel like that's not existed since I was little.
Well, it's been around for a number of years. Yeah, so I'd say at least 10 plus years that the patch has been around.
I'm showing my age.
I think the scouts will have an extra interest this year because the theme of the haunted house is Wicked Woods.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So can you divulge any part of the theme, not to give away any scares?
Oh, I imagine Liz can tell you a lot about the 15 different wicked rooms.
Yes, so we do have 15 spaces. This year's been a bit of a challenge for us, really kind of stretched us creatively, just because, you know, we're doing an outdoor haunted house. So how do you create a house that is really an outdoor type of space versus walking through finite rooms that you think of a traditional haunted house? But it's been really cool. So we have anything you might experience when you're lost in the woods. So there's caves, there's water features, there's lots of trees, there's a creepy campsite, there's an old decrepit cabin that's been abandoned.
Are there weird birds?
Oh, there's going to be some weird birds.
I was going to say, there has to be weird birds.
You can't have an outdoor haunted house without weird birds. Yeah. Yes. Lots of insects, maybe some wild animals.
Wow.
Maybe a Bigfoot.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So...
Wow. For those up in the Northwest, that is going to be the Sasquatch. So, I mean, literally, you've got everything that could be scaring you outside in the woods, right?
Absolutely. And frankly, I mean, being out alone, lost in the dark in the woods is just scary in itself.
It's my worst fear. Yeah. Also, you should add raccoons because those are also terrible.
Yeah, you got a bit of an issue with raccoons.
We
don't
have
you?
A raccoon.
Do you?
We do. Well, actually, our raccoon is our seek and find for Lights On. So one of the fun things that we do for our Lights On visitors is that we create a seek and find. So in each room, we hide something that for the kids to find each year. So they can go through the haunted house and try and find this item in each room.
Very cool.
So this year it is Ranger the raccoon. So Ranger will be hidden in each room, but it's a friendly raccoon. It's not a scary one. It does not have rabies or anything. No. So
no, I'm just getting some ideas, actually. So we'll move on from here. Much of our staff here absolutely loves Halloween. I know the Black Hat Bash is actually coming up.
Yes.
The city's biggest family-friendly Halloween party. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So the Bash this year is on Saturday, October the 7th. It's also our opening day, so we're super excited. It's going to be a huge day for us. It's going to be fun. So the Bash is a huge Halloween party at the museum. So the museum's open to everyone. All exhibits are open. And then throughout the museum, we have restaurants that basically have booze, and they have samples of various kinds of foods that they bring. We have an arcade. We've got a midway. We've got face painters, balloon, animal twister type people. We've got a DJ, live entertainment from Showtime Dancers. They teach the kids how to do the Thriller dance. There's also,
is that kids only?
Oh, no, adults. Anyone that wants to learn how to do the Thriller dance, it's always a huge
hit. An
Absolutely.
Important skill set, too.
It really is. And it's actually pretty difficult, too.
Yeah.
And we also have a huge costume contest. So we have, they go across the stage, they're judged, they win fabulous prizes, and there's various categories you can enter. So you can do a family-themed costume as a family and enter in that category, or also enter as individuals.
Oh, that is very cool. Now, when is that date?
That is Saturday, October the 7th.
Very cool. So that's opening up for the entire Halloween.
So that's the opening day of the haunted house. Yes, is that evening is Black Cat Bash. And then also with that, with the bash, you do get to go through the haunted house. So you could either pick Lights On or Frightening, because we do operate both.
Sounds like a really fun night.
It is.
Wow. Well, the museum always had such amazing events going on throughout the entire year. Can you tell us some of the events outside of just Halloween? Although, I mean, Halloween is the biggest and the best. What else do you have? Because I got to keep my kids busy regularly.
Aaron, it is nonstop at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis. Yep. We have something going on all the time that's new and different. And that's one of the important parts of our mission, is that we want to always be changing, always be educating, always having fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. So, you know, we have 13 permanent exhibits right now. And a couple of those are brand new. If you haven't been here for a while, we just opened the American Galleries of Arts and Popular Culture, which is very fun. That just opened this summer. And along with it is a temporary exhibit that will change all the time, but it will have a pop culture theme. So we opened with an experience called Dance. And we've got all kinds of dances that kids can learn, from the 20s through disco, through the Thriller dance, on up into the dancing of today. So that's very fun. And then we always have two or three temporary galleries that are always changing. We have one right now called Circus Starring You that's been so much fun, and it continues. And you can come in and feel what it was like to be part of the Barnum and Bailey Circus, or all kinds of very, very interactive things to do. And that's one of the things we're very focused on, is that we don't want to be a museum where you just look. We're in a museum where you touch, you participate, you are a part of the museum. So,
no, absolutely. And again, just talking from experience, my kids, whenever we bring them out there, and it's just a fantastic experience, because there are things changing all the time. And we're season pass holders.
Good.
And it's a huge benefit.
It is.
As well.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting tickets each and every time. I mean, it's an incredible benefit for what the price is for a full season pass, a full year pass.
Right.
Not to gratuitously put a plug in there, but you really
well, thank
should.
You.
You really should. If you're a family.
It is. We say you can, if you're a family of four, you will pay for your membership in 2.5 visits.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right. And so if you live in this community, then you can, you know, just come for a year and over and over and over. It's a fantastic opportunity.
Well, I know yesterday you just announced 12 new sports figures who are going to be recognized at your new sports park. Can you tell us about that? Because it was awesome. And the list that I saw was incredible. So I want to hear all about that.
Well, it did. We're, as you know, on March 17th of 2018, next St. Patrick's Day, we're opening a 7.5-acre expansion to our museum. It's an indoor-outdoor sports and health and fitness facility, which is a kind of a different direction for us, and we're very, very excited with it. We're partnering with Riley Children's Health, and the outdoor portion will have 13 different sports and fitness areas. Everything from Colts football and Indiana Pacers basketball and Fever and Fuel and soccer and IMS oval track and the Pete and Alice Dye golf, 27-hole golf experience.
Wow.
And this is not putt-putt. This is actually learning some of the fundamentals of golf for children and grown-ups. And Along with it, we have the old National Bank Avenue of Champions, which is what we announced yesterday. So along this Avenue of Champions, we are starting with 12 different legends in sports, coaches, athletes, broadcasters. And we announced them yesterday, and the list is fantastic. If I had to sit here and name them all, I'd probably be hard-pressed because they're so great. But people as Reggie Miller, right. Reggie Wayne, Pete and Alice Dye, Tamika Catchings, Oscar Robertson.
Oh, very cool.
Slick Leonard. It's just a wonderful situation.
That's a great
list. Yeah.
Wow.
Barbara Wynn, tennis. She's done a phenomenal job here in Indianapolis with local kids tennis.
Yep.
It's exciting. They're going to have full-size bronze statues. The Clowns, which were the original Negro Baseball mm-hmm. League here, we've got three statues, and Hank Aaron is among them. So, it's really, really exciting.
Well, that is fantastic. And I did want to talk to some of our Facebook listeners and watchers and pull one of their comments in. Jace sure. Hills actually says, we are members but have never been to the Wicked Woods to go back to the haunted house here. Mm-hmm. Why should we not miss it? So, all right, game on. Okay.
Sure. Sure. So it is the Halloween experience for Indianapolis to be able to go through this haunted house. So if you chose lights on, it's like a lights on trick-or-treating experience. We have giveaways in each room for the kids. Mm-hmm. And just really going through the house and touring it and seeing the decorations and the artistry and just the creativity and imagination in all things haunted house. If you love Halloween, this is really an exhibit for you. It's amazing, all the work and the effort that goes into it. And if you like to be scared, this is the place to do it as well. So, and most people equate, oh, Children's Museum is not going to be scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
So my kids, I'm not going to reveal their ages, but they still won't go through lights off, and they should be able to.
Well, can you imagine listening to the Guild, one of the Guild participants, 365 days a year talking about the haunted house? I'm not going to go near that if my mom's talking about that. I mean,
right.
I mean, all the planning. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, but they do love to help. So kids do love to help. So they do help a little bit.
But I will put in the PR plug here that it is a very safe Halloween experience.
Yes.
So you dress up in a costume if you don't want your children to be going door to door or whatever. This is a great place to put on the costume, come, and you do trick or treat all the way through. Mm-hmm. So throughout the whole month, you can trick or treat in a very safe atmosphere.
You do not leave empty-handed.
No,
you do not.
and to that point, I do want to double back around on
there's some cute ones behind us.
Yep.
Talking about that safe environment, and unfortunately, it is a bit of a testament to the day and age is that. Sometimes you don't have safe neighborhoods to trick-or-treat.
Sometimes that's true.
And sadly, this is an incredible and very, very good alternative to just eliminating
absolutely.
That risk factor and taking your kids there. They're going to get a bundle of candy. You know, we've seen what you give out. It's huge.
They've got, there's, and at the end, there's a boutique where there are very, very nominally priced other tricks and treats if they didn't really get what they wanted going
through. If I'm not mistaken, you guys have some great candied apples there as well.
In boutique, yes, we do. Yeah, we've got popcorn, we've got hot dogs, nachos, all sorts of, really healthy options.
Well, anything, as far as the parents go, parents what? Typically, you go trick-or-treating, you have to stand on the sidewalk, you wave at the neighbors. This would be far more engaging for the parents, too. I mean, you get to walk through and participate in it as well. Instead of just standing around, you get to experience it, too.
Absolutely. The adults that go through love it, and they're usually being pulled along by the kids because they're wanting to stop and look at everything and just really appreciate all the work that's gone into it.
The artistry of it, sure.
And it is beautiful. I mean, it sounds wicked and woodsy and all, but it's... It's beautiful. It's beautiful, the art that goes into these things. And they tell us, Liz, about some of the amazing, quirky statistics. I think is amazing.
Sure, sure. So this year so far, we've used 250 pounds of flour and 20 gallons of glue to create paper mache trees for our woods.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, and we actually use old sheets to paper mache, so they're sturdy. So, people can run into them or,
punch them
or bump into them or
Edge Vinny does not
runs
advocate
into
punching the trees at the haunted house.
Try not to punch the trees.
In self-defense, if you hit something sneaking up.
Yeah. It happens. It happens.
Trees.
It happens. We've also collected over 200 artificial trees. So think old Christmas trees that people have no longer want, ficus trees, anything. And we've spent, I don't even know how many hundreds of hours, removing lights from the pre-lit Christmas trees
I'm getting the Nightmare Before Christmas vibe.
Fantastic. So, and then we use thousands and thousands of insects, bats, 2,000 probably skeletal parts.
Fake bats. Right?
Fake bats, not real bats. There are no live animals in the haunted house.
No animals will be hurt during this haunted
no
house.
No live animals. Yep. Yes.
That's a bunch of stuff. So those are really, I mean, that's some great statistics. How many people will come through the haunted house given October and sure. October 7th starting out?
Sure. So last year, we had over 67,000 people come through the haunted house.
67,000. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we anticipate it will be about the same this year. We've increased a little bit each year, but we're tracking right around 65,000 annually through the house.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of scared people there.
It is a lot of scared people. It's also a lot of friendly giveaways, too, because actually, if you think about that number, probably 2/3 of that is actually lights on visitors.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Remember, we're giving away 4 tickets to the haunted house here. So fire off your comments. We got Tyler Sparkman. He's asking, what's your favorite exhibit at the Children's Museum of Indy right now? I'll go to our PR person first.
Well, right now, my favorite temporary exhibit is Circus Starring You because it's visually beautiful. There are 3 big top areas. There's a virtual reality experience that is really great. You put on the glasses and you're at the top of the big top walking across a tightrope.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it feels so real. The first time I did it, and you know, I'm older, we'll just leave it at that. I was paralyzed.
Oh,
I could not move. You know, some of the kids, they can just scamper right across the tightrope.
Right.
I was paralyzed. I had to do it twice. I had to say to myself, I'm on the ground.
I'm in a building. I'm okay.
And, all right. And when you get across, people clap for you and confetti flies and everything. So
I absolutely
love that. It's fun. Very creative. And there are rings. You can feel like what it's like to be an aerialist and just you can dress up and be the ringmaster.
There's just
all kind of fun things like that.
All right, Liz, your turn. You're kind of biased, aren't you?
Yeah, I am biased. You know what I'm going to say. It's the haunted house. It has to be the haunted house.
We're
living and breathing it right now. So,
and I'm going to brag on the haunted house because she's probably a little too humble to do it, but I think it's very important for your audience to know that what they are doing is keeping the Children's Museum of Indianapolis new and fresh all the time and educational and relevant because all of their proceeds go to the Children's Museum Foundation. And they have given over $11 million to the Children's Museum, these ladies that work so hard
in
and day out. And that money supports a lot of programming for families that might otherwise not be able to take advantage of the Children's Museum for free days, discounted days, for a thing called the Access Pass that they help underwrite, plus a lot of our science programming and different kinds of after-school opportunities for young people. So the haunted house, while it's great fun, is also a great nonprofit organization. These guild ladies work so hard to do to keep the museum available to everyone.
Good work, Hedwitch. Good job.
Thanks.
Yep, I got a couple more comments just want to throw out there. Pamela Kelly Ogle Novotny actually said it's not current, but our special needs adult son loved the Transformers exhibit whenever they had that out there.
Right, oh, yeah. It's been a couple years ago.
And Austin Gilman actually said, do you recommend lights on or lights off for a 4-year-old at the haunted house?
Lights on all the way. Definitely lights on.
Yeah, I would say the same.
When do you think the lights go off for a kid?
It really depends on the child.
Yeah.
It really does. But I think Target, you could start thinking about 8 years old, depending on how easily your child gets scared or has nightmares. My kids are older than that, and they won't go through still. But they're kind of...
What about 31-year-old men? Is that what I heard?
Definitely lights on.
You do not deserve lights on.
That's...
So funny. By the way, I know it's September, but everyone is looking ahead to Christmas. Absolutely. And I know you all have already planned for Santa's big arrival. So can you tell us about that? Because it's time to start planning for that now.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about Santa's big arrival. That is an annual event that we absolutely love. Of course, Santa has to arrive some way to Indianapolis from the North Pole. And he chooses to come via a two-seater IndyCar race car.
Wow.
Which seems logical to me.
Absolutely. That Indy 500 pole sitter and fan favorite and local resident and museum member Ed Carpenter drives.
Oh.
So driver Ed Carpenter puts Santa in there after he makes it here from the North Pole with the reindeer, and he arrives at the Children's Museum. The kids are outside. It's always the day after Thanksgiving in the morning. He arrives at about 9 a.m.
So
you can be out on the plaza and enjoy hot chocolate and sing-alongs and music, and it's a great family opportunity to see Santa come. And then he goes inside. We welcome everybody in. He rides down our Yule slide with a member child, and then he takes his seat up in Jolly Days, which is a big exhibit for the holidays. And he's there then, of course, throughout the holiday season, even through Christmas Eve Day when we're open for free.
Wow.
So on December 24th from 10 to 2, you can come for free and get your last wishes in with Santa. And it's just a holiday that we love as well.
Absolutely. Hey, small world. And we're big fans of Ed Carpenter as well. We actually did his website. I would love to do Santa's website.
Oh, there you go. Let's tap into that opportunity.
Very, very cool. Well, before we wrap up, let's speak directly to the parents and the families out there who may not have visited the museum or those who haven't been in a while. What makes the Children's Museum of Indianapolis so great, and why should more families actually make their way to see you?
Well, we're five full floors, almost 500,000 square feet of exhibit space, and everything is new and different and exciting. We focus on STEM education, but we focus on fun. You really can't even do it in a day. It takes a couple of days if you're going to go through everything. Our Dinosphere is world-renowned.
It is incredible.
They are real fossils.
Yep.
There is a real working paleontology lab. We have a real wet lab of archaeology. We have a science works display, and so we focus on the humanities, science, and fun.
We are all about those things.
Absolutely. And last point, Jay Sill, besides with the Wicked Woods and the new outdoor sports exhibit coming, what's the next new exhibit that's coming up, or can you say?
Well, we haven't announced our lineup publicly yet for 2018.
But amongst friends and friends of the edge.
It's just the four of us.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I'll just say something like, believe it or not, and leave
it
at that.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Wow. That's all I'm saying.
No, you don't understand. My wife and I got married in Gatlinburg. And we toured the
I don't know what you're talking about.
The museum down
some
there.
Some sort of place.
A kind of place.
And we walked through. They had a haunted house on the top floor, and she was scared. And boy, that's a great memory for me.
Wife being scared, that's a great memory.
Kind of odd how that came out. That's fantastic. That's really exciting as well.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
Whatever it could be.
I didn't really say much, did I?
I'm not sure what you're speaking of, but it does sound exciting.
Yeah. Everything we do is exciting.
I believe it will be.
There you go.
All right. So how you can get in touch with any Children's Museum, you can certainly check them out on Twitter at TMC Indy. You can go to Facebook.
TCM.
TCM. Oh, yeah. TCM. Sorry.
The Children's Museum.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Facebook.com, Children's Museum, Instagram at Children's Museum, and the website, childrensmuseum.org. Fantastic information, ladies. Thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you for having us. We've really enjoyed it.
We'll see you at the Haunted House.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a question before we wrap up here. We were talking about this before. Do you think that the team from Site Strategics could possibly come out and maybe volunteer haunt out there?
I think it's possible.
And can I be a witch with you?
Of course.
Okay.
All right. This is fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah,
and we always hold any children's museum. It's a special place in our heart because you're doing such great work and you're giving back to the community on a regular basis. And you must be proud just being part of this organization. And you can certainly see from your dedication that it's paying off.
It's a wonderful place to work.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So, and volunteer.
And volunteer. And we all always take volunteers.
And visit.
All the things. That's fantastic. So check out the Children's Museum. If you hadn't been there for a long time, go back there. They're always changing and they're always making some great efforts to connect with your children and give them something to do, not just see. So check out all the things that are happening and go check out the Haunted House. We're certainly going to announce the winner of the basket here at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. Coming up, we are going to be interestingly entertained by our weird and wacky friend, Paul Poteet, and he's going to be bringing us the weather coming up right now.
Real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
Happy Paul Poteet music. How are you
Bouncy,
doing?
Happy Paul Poteet. Wheels on Paul go round and round.
No, no, no. All of our audience is going to have that earworm in their head now.
The greatest hits of the teen set. Well, that's the preteen set, I guess, right? You all know that song, Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round.
I have four kids.
Preteen.
No, it's not.
I don't know. It sounded right.
Taylor Swift does not sing that song, all right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You still have to listen to that crap, don't you?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, we've moved away from Barney. That's for darn sure. I mean, I went through the gauntlet of Barneyville for a good 12 years,
I
just wanted to shoot myself. To be honest with you,
presently in the world of top 40 radio with any of my customers, but I could be back at a moment's notice. So I, you know, certainly don't want to disparage Taylor. I could get right back into her. I could start seeing her again, unlike the rest of the guys.
Wow!
Shots fired.
She breaks up a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Poteet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing all my best Taylor Swift material today.
So, hey, you always bring us some great weird and wacky news from the net and how it's affecting Indiana and Indianapolis. But first and foremost, I wanted to ask you, what was your take on Hurricane Irma and the response that we're seeing down in Florida? What are you seeing there?
Well, it went a little farther. It went farther west than, at one point was anticipated / feared, because that may have been, an even worse shot going straight up the peninsula. So it ended up going a little farther west, which was hinted at the very last group of computer model runs, because no surprise here, they get more accurate the closer you get to the actual event. So, I mean, it was bad. I mean, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. It wasn't the worst hurricane they've ever had. Yeah. It was, I think, from what I've seen, it was kind of barely a Category 4 when it came on shore. But, they're all bad. I mean, there were still Naples had winds like 140 miles an hour. Now, whether or not people overreacted, that's a game you can't win. People are always going to side for being more. If it looks like it could be bad, then you have to react to it. I think human nature figures into it, and that close to another major hurricane, I mean, that's just only natural that people are going to be on edge. That's actually, though, interestingly enough, it was about a 2-week separation between the two events, the two hurricanes. But there was one time I looked back in the 1930s, that there were two major hurricanes that struck the U.S. and they were like 2 days apart.
Oh my gosh.
So, like you weren't depressed enough, in the 1930s. That would have added to it.
So, absolutely.
It could have been worse, but that's easy for us to say. We didn't lose a house or anything. I'm sure there's plenty of people that have to start from scratch. Hopefully they had their insurance.
I'm just really taken aback by the news people that are there that were in there, and it was whole.
Oh, that's ridiculous. It's a cliche.
It really is. It really is.
I mean, everyone knows. Thanks for bringing us the late breaking news. It's windy.
And raining.
I hate to be its current year, man, but it's 2017. You know, show us a drone shot of it or an automated camera.
I saw one take from a CNN reporter that was literally looking at a piece of a Sheridan sign that was on the ground, and that's all they could focus on. It's like, hey, it came from that sign, and watch it. They watched it move on the ground with the weather because that's all they could focus on. It's like, oh my, Phil. And it was just...
Well, it's video wallpaper, which, you know, is the curse of TV news sometimes. You know, video will always win. And even if it's, if it doesn't really communicate that much to you, if it's just some visceral feel, ooh, it's windy. You know, the producers will go with that. But this idea that we need, that they're actually telling us something that you don't know, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. All right.
If I were with Taylor talking about this over champagne coolies, she would say the same thing. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Give us some more ridiculous stories here.
It's no different than going to the salt barn every time that there's an inch of snow in the forecast. Been there. Speaking of Indiana and snow and salt barns, Indiana's Star Wars fans are our legion, if you will.
Absolutely. Oh, double entendre. I love that.
and look at you. I know that when I saw this story, I thought, I know some people that are going to like this a lot. Believe me, some of my best friends are/have been Star Wars and Star Trek fanatic, but of course, Star Wars, a tribute to Carrie Fisher in an Indiana cornfield.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Look at that. Oh. That the it's down around Evansville. Cool. He created a corn maze with the trails outlining the face of Carrie Fisher. Well, obviously, he did this, you know, after she passed away. He planned it. You know, that happened like in December of last year. Mm-hmm. And then he used, I don't know how this works, he planted the spring using a GPS device.
I love it.
So now the corn is mature and the trails outline the Star Wars character's face, distinctive hairstyle, part of her upper body, although the gold bikini is missing, I might add.
Well, that'll happen as harvest comes, because we're going to have, right?
That's right. Slowly things are revealed as the season continues. It's a maze at the Goble Farms in near Evansville, Indiana, and paying customers are going to... You know, somebody, when I did put that up online, somebody said it looks like the Starbucks logo, if you want to look at that again. And I saw that and I thought, maybe I do see that. Is that a lawsuit for Starbucks or for George Lucas?
All the suits right there. But that's a good care and I mean a commitment to his farm, obviously. But the guy was really, really inspired.
Super fan,
absolutely. And Brittany has no connection and understanding of the super fans. Cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Brittany, I'm with you. I mean, I watched Star Wars on TV after school when I was a kid, or not Star Wars, the other one.
Star Trek.
I know.
Do not cross the streams. Uh-oh. Okay.
It's not, as a matter of fact, one of my friends, I have it here in the office, gave me that. And
that's Obi-Wan. That's Obi-Wan. All right.
Is that worth anything, Aaron?
I don't know. Bring it over here. We'll check it out.
No, you'll never get it. It's mine. But I'm with you, Brittany. It's that's nice. Wow.
Glad we're on the same page, Paul.
Amazing. I'm learning more and more about you both. That's
well, concerning. I mean, I got nothing against it.
Just don't really float your boat. Okay, then. What else you got for us?
Brittany, he's assigned us a warp factor of 5, I think.
You can't cross the streams like that. Star Wars and Star Trek are completely different.
I do this to my friends who are into this all the time, too, and it drives them crazy. Okay, here's something. That corn kind of looked like Carrie. These people really look like famous works of art. I found this kind of fascinating. These people go to art galleries, okay, and we'll scroll down, and they pose next to, look at that. They pose next to pictures that look like them.
That's pretty interesting.
Look at that. Look at that one. And, this guy's got the hairline and the beard. All down, history repeating itself, as it says there. Look at that. The thing, now that beards are back into vogue.
Oh, look, you know, Henry VIII.
Look at this. I'm Henry VIII. I am. So am I. Love it. There you go. You got the fierce beard going again. And the hair, just, I mean, look at the details there.
Wow.
And here's a guy with a baby face. That one's a little unsettling. Luckily, he didn't recreate the entire painting.
Lord almighty.
One that's called Creature Discomforts here. Again, that's actually Kenny G, I think, in that art gallery. that one right there. Posing, and it's just bizarre. It just goes on. Look at that one.
Okay.
It just goes on and on.
The next one's freaky.
The one at the, looks like something from a Stephen King
that's movie. Terrifying.
Yeah, that's somewhat terrifying. Here's a guy. Hands on the hips. Very good.
Okay, this one's
and
freaky.
Look at that. This.
That ain't right.
I don't care for that.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, have you guys ever been told that you look like somebody, you know, from, I guess not necessarily from ancient history, but, you know, just somebody.
I look like Aaron.
I've heard some things, but... Yep.
You've heard some things?
Yeah.
Not Julie from the Love Boat or anything
like
that.
No, not Julie from the Love Boat.
Julie from the Love Boat?
Yeah. Who is that before all this?
Yeah, that was pre-show banter back and forth. And she's...
I have had the misfortune, it happened with a couple of different radio morning shows. It started back in the 90s, of being linked with beloved English comedian Rowan, I can't think of his last name, Atkinson, I think it is, mm-hmm. who portrayed for many...
Paul, it's you!
Mr. Bean.
Paul without a beard.
WENS back in the 90s. Then I changed radio stations and I went to ZPL in the late 90s and I still get it, you know, from an entirely different morning show. So yeah, that may have been why the, beard came along. That's probably the one that I've gotten the most. And then I also
Photoshopped a beard on Rowan Atkinson. Would we have Paul Poteet?
You've foiled everything if you do that. You've ruined it. You've
the game's streams. Up, man.
You've crossed streams at that point.
I think I have.
So, yeah, I've gotten him. The dude from Train, Pat, I think it's Monahan.
All right.
Yeah.
I've gotten that before. And then just recently, I had posted some picture a few weeks ago, and some guy said I look like the dude from, an AMC show called Preacher.
Right.
That is on the air right now.
that's like that evil guy, Paul Poteet right there.
Yeah, I cannot show that post to my pastor. He might not let me in this Sunday. And that one, and I think I attached another one. No, I can't remember who. Oh, it was this one I think is kind of a stretch. Some guy was posted on Facebook. He was watching a repeat of The Incredible Hulk. And that I looked vaguely
like the Incredible Hulk.
Well, no, not sadly. Not the Incredible Hulk.
You wouldn't like him when he's mad.
That was not happening. It was Bill Bixby, the guy that played the Incredible Hulk. So, I don't know. Just in case you've ever been compared to someone,
I've gotten
not necessarily in history.
Melissa Joan Hart from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, I've gotten that since I was young.
I get Ron Swanson a lot. Just
well, because you talk about bacon every
exactly.
week on the show.
See, it's more behavioral, not really.
Might have something to do with it too. So yep. Now, doppelganger is an interesting topic. We go from doppelgangers to emojis. Do you know that there's nothing as popular as poo?
What?
Oh.
Google search data reveals which emoji. Each state uses the most. And you know, among all of the American top 40, among all the emojis used coast to coast, the one that churned up the most often was the poo.
Well, that's just crap.
The the eggplant, heart, and winking face also proved to be popular across states. So it's one of these charts where it shows you a map of the United States and then it fills in with each state. And I didn't really understand the one that they show for Indiana is there comes the map there.
Yeah,
we had it for a second.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll come back to us here. Let me point to a map. I made a lot of money doing that over the years. You'd be surprised how much money they'll give you just to point to a map. There's an ice cream cone for Indiana. Were you even, have you used that emoji? I don't think I've ever used it.
Not in all my life have I used that.
I bet my kids would love to.
Yeah, right. And then the 100, which I really haven't used a lot to. I have used the poo, okay? That's
yeah. Oh my gosh. I might need some context for that.
That's right. Context is important.
That is my favorite ringtone. I'm going to put on Paul's number now. I have used the poo.
I have used the poo.
There it is.
We all have to go sometime. But the heart was big along the West Coast in Washington, Oregon, and California. And you would think Texas would be something other than peach. Isn't that a peach?
Yeah.
Well,
I hope that's what we're looking at.
That is a peach.
That's often used to show something else.
That is a peach.
Okay.
Well, I'll let you use your imagination. What that
it kind of ties in with the most popular emoji, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
At least they're not next together.
I don't know. It's a good thing Michigan and Wisconsin are separated by Lake Michigan. The Northeast loves its faces. The Northeast has a lot of faces, wow. And then there's a couple of those apples or tomatoes?
A lot of side eye in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Yeah, I see that.
What's and with then, the ice cream cone in Indiana, though?
That and it's Kentucky too, and we're like the only. Let me look real quick. We're That's the it. Only states where it's like that. Indiana, weird. Kentucky, with the ice cream cone. Maybe somebody, if you're watching right now, chime in and tell us on Facebook Live if you've ever used the ice cream,
or use the ice cream in the Facebook commentary. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, use it right now. Yeah. I want a slew of emojis right now at the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
Just not that one. Not that one.
Well, I mean, hey. If they feel the need. Those are the stories. All right. Well, what are we looking at from a weather prediction here in the upcoming weeks?
We have got ourselves a turn here, a plot twist.
I'm not excited about this, Paul.
So you don't like warm weather?
I need you to do better because
Now we part again. We united on the whole, space thing. Now, Aaron, you'll be happy to know we have departed again because I love the hot weather.
Wow.
Some like it hot. So I'm looking at this weekend.
I don't know about that. I've been donning the sweaters and the jackets. I dig that. That space right there. So you're telling me I don't get to do that anymore here.
No sweaters this weekend. Okay. You could wear them today as we do this live stream today. Wednesday is only in the 60s, and we still have actually some of the tropical leftovers are still around. If you look at it on the radar today, you'll see that where it looks like it's moving the wrong way, where it's more of a hurricane type circulation. So we still have leftovers, but clearly not to the extent of the south. But that should move off after tomorrow morning. And look at that. We've had some really nice weekends. We haven't had any above average weekends like this in a while. The average high is at this point 79, and we're going well into the 80s. Friday and Saturday, we have rain chances on Monday. So for about the next 10 days, starting Friday, we're going to be above average around here and make up for some lost time. September is a sneaky month. I mean, it started the average high at the beginning of the month and the average high at the end of the month. There's like it's an 11 degree drop or 10 or 11 degree drop. And whereas like in July and August, it's the same average high all the way through the month. And then all of a sudden,
Well, and even the temperature differential between nighttime and daytime. I mean, there's quite a change there.
I know. And it's so dark late in the morning. If you've been driving to work, noticing, that it's so dark, but then don't we change time soon? And that'll screw that back up the other direction. Yeah. And you don't have as much time to procrastinate to walk the dog or go for a run in the evening then at all.
Or utilize the emojis that you love so much.
Well,
now we all always have time, right?
There's always time for
ice cream.
Exactly. Ice cream. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, you too.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Paul. Fantastic information, and great to be able to see that you have so many different characterizations out online, pictures of you, so we can just pepper the walls.
Whatever
with
you do, don't post Mr. Bean anywhere near as a comment. The
moods of Paul Poteet.
It's a good thing. I've got very extremely thick skin. You can't see it through the camera here, but luckily
I have some Mr. Bean.
extremely thick skin. Whew, Mr. Bean, what are they thinking?
Well, thanks so much, Paul, and we're certainly going to pay attention to the weather here, and let us know if anything else is coming our way between now and next Wednesday, all right?
All right, we'll see you on the Edge. Bye.
Right. Bye. Take care, bye.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Welcome back to The Edge. Hey, we wanted to introduce you to a friend of the organization, an organization that is doing incredible work here in Indianapolis. They are literally rebuilding lives, utilizing this craftsmanship, this beautiful craftsmanship, and they are doing God's work, missionary work, to be able to help out individuals in Indianapolis. I want to introduce you to Dan Mays, shop assistant at Purposeful Design. Dan, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm
Dan.
Great. Thank you so much, Aaron and Brittany, for inviting us to come in and talk a little bit about what we're doing.
You're more than welcome, Dan. Purposeful Design is such an amazing company here in Circle City. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, I'd be glad to. About 3 years ago, our director, David Palmer, who was already involved with some of the men down at Wheeler Mission, He did a regular Bible study. He would frequently ask the men, how can we help you when you leave this place? And he got a recurring request for, I need a job. And so David Palmer, our founder and director, had this idea, had this vision, I think, to start up a small business and employ some of these men. And I came on board with him from the start. So he and I have been working shoulder to shoulder for, well, it's 3.5 years now. And this thing has grown, And we've seen God's blessing, so we're glad about that.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredible opportunity that you're providing these men, and they're learning such an incredible product and a vocation. The woodworking, the craftsmanship that Purposeful Design provides is amazing, and it is not just furniture. I mean, it is inspirationally driven furniture and some of the unique designs that you have, and we'll certainly throw some on screen, and we'll go full screen a couple of these. It is just amazing to be able to see the quality of the work.
It's beautiful.
Go ahead and bring that up full screen, guys, if you could. Some of this furniture is just amazing. I can't speak to the wood. You certainly could, but I mean, look at some of these images here. I mean, that's
a good looking table.
It's a beautiful table. The craftsmanship is fantastic. I couldn't even speak to it, but I mean, just look at the amazing layouts that you have here. Can you talk about the some of these pieces that
sure,
you're seeing right there?
Absolutely. We use native Indiana hardwoods, And we've built. We started out building small pieces of furniture for the homeowners and things like that, But we realized there was another market out there that we tapped into, some business offices, and we've been building conference tables and Work desk and cafe tables for so many businesses here in Central Indiana, and these are just some of the pictures. Right there's a hanging bed made out of hickory.
It's so pretty.
We just delivered that a couple of weeks ago. And So that's what we build. And some of these items that we build, we've never done it before. Mm-hmm. So the learning curve, even for myself and our shop foreman, is pretty steep sometimes, learning how to get these things made. But we're all learning together.
Yeah.
And mostly we're learning as men to work together, to learn together. And, you know, the thing, I like the intro that I think Brittany mentioned, that we're not just building furniture. We're trying to build lives, And that's what we're there for. You know, I'm convinced that by design, a man needs to wake up each morning and have a purpose, have something to go to.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't doubt that's true for a lady as well, but I know men. And
Well, they need something to craft.
Absolutely, collectively,
people want to be able to accomplish something, and they want to be able to see the efforts of their work.
Absolutely, yes. At the end of the day, a man needs to have used his mind or his inward man, his soul, but also his hands to make something.
I want to touch on your history, too, because I think it leads into so much what this company has become. You are a retired Marion County firefighter.
That's
so
right.
First and foremost, thank you for that. We
Absolutely.
Appreciate your service.
You're
there.
Welcome.
And so obviously you've worked alongside some pretty rough and tough guys. And I think it's so interesting now that your journey has brought you to working with these men and really trying to help them find their mission, through employment and through relationships and fatherhood and those sorts of things. What has your journey been like from, you know, out there doing the yeah. stuff, and then now you're trying to get into the hearts of these people and really help them find more meaning?
Absolutely. Yeah, my history of work has prepared me for this. God has given me great opportunities. I first was employed when I left college. I became involved in concrete construction, did that for about 12 years full time, and learned to work hard. And then I went into the fire service, and, you know, that's an interesting culture there. Good people, kind of private, kind of tight, a closed culture in ways. Mm-hmm. But these men also need to be fulfilled. And even though they have a prestigious job and a meaningful job, a call of duty, even in the firehouse, men can get discouraged mm-hmm. and they can derail.
Yeah.
And I just found myself more and more wanting to help keep the men encouraged, as I found encouragement in my own life from my dad. I had a wonderful father. And at the same time, those years I was raising a family, I raised three sons. They're all adults now, and so proud of each of them.
Oh.
I also raised three daughters. My wife and I raised a big family.
And they're okay too.
they're doing great. Actually, they are doing extremely great. And so then when I retired, the year I turned 60, I retired from the fire service. It was time to walk away from that and give someone else an opportunity. So this is when Mr. Palmer was ready to get this going. And someone, I'd never met the man, someone brought our hands together and says, you guys need to meet.
Hmm.
And the funny part was he had been told that I was a carpenter. I've helped frame houses. I set formwork for concrete for years. Well, being a framer is one type of carpenter. Being a furniture builder is a different level. So my learning curve was extremely steep as well, but I believed in what we were trying to do. And mm-hmm. and again, working with these men just inspired me to keep going.
You have the best energy. I'm just so calm. He just calms me right down. I love your energy.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the men that you help. That purposeful design helps. Where do they come from?
Most of the ones we've employed, and in 3.5 years, we've seen 30 men come through our program.
Mm-hmm.
Some have moved on to better opportunities. Some have ended up back up on the streets in discouragement. But the majority of them have come through a program with Wheeler Mission or another ministry called Hebron down in Martinsville.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these guys have come through some sort of addiction that they're being rehabilitated from. A lot of them have been homeless.
Right.
And they're not old men either. These are, you can see in the picture, some of these guys are in their mid-20s mm-hmm. and 30s. But they've come through some hard times. But you know what? One thing that I've observed over the years is I know these men, and most of them I know very personally.
Mm-hmm.
I get involved in their lives.
Yep.
In addition to doing some training. But every one of them, their story is there was no father figure in my life. If they knew their dad,
right.
Their dad wasn't present, or he didn't care,
right.
Or he was angry. And so that we've seen a trend there. And so that's something I think is we need to understand about the needs of children, the needs of a young man
mm-hmm.
is to have a significant father figure in their life. And I think if we can accomplish more of that, and that's a call for all of our community, churches, businesses, all of us work together to enhance the fatherhood in our community. But if we can start repairing that one piece of it, we can do a lot of restoring, I'm convinced.
Absolutely. And that and that goes to the mission of Purposeful Design, is that you are, you're talking about walking a path together.
Yeah.
And as fathers, they have a role. If those fathers aren't there, organizations such as Purposeful Designs, and there's a number of organizations around the city, are taking up that mantle and actually demonstrating what it means to actually get back to a community, what it means to actually learn a vocation, a skill. Mm-hmm. And you have the chance, as you're providing that tangible work, to be able to speak to their heart, be able to speak to their soul, and be able to guide them and give them alternative paths on which they can walk, right?
Absolutely, yes. And one of our objectives is to not just give them help in employment, you know, a job skill, and not just to give them life skills, because some of them don't have other life disciplines, mm-hmm. like being on time,
right?
Being prompt,
right.
You know, that's we take that for granted almost, especially in this business. But some men have not been shaped that way.
That's right.
But another thing that we really want to create in these men is a hunger for spiritual healthiness. You know, and we're not really a church. We're not, we are supported by some churches, but we believe that we can give them the best job opportunity in the world. We can connect them with good people. But if they haven't got in their inward part, I call it, their mm-hmm. inner man, if there's not some sort of reconciling that goes on between them and God and them and others, keep people in their lives, their father, maybe a spouse, maybe their own children.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If some of that hasn't, if we haven't taught these guys how to reconcile those relationships, the hope that we give them by working at Purposeful Design will not last. It's unsustainable without inward health.
Absolutely. Well said. And I think that is demonstrated for all the work that you do there. You see this sees a pride, but in for the men that manufacture what they're manufacturing, but it's very apparent what your mission is whenever you're looking at not only your website, but also the product and what the men are doing. So it's good to be able to see that type of leadership from organizations. Now, you credit a lot of your team's success to the amazing donors and the partners that you have. Can you, would you like to recognize any of them here today?
Yes, and thank you for that observation. And a lot of the credit goes to David Palmer, who's a real solid man and mm-hmm. a heart for what's right, and the energy that he puts into this. And he has surrounded himself with good people. And a lot of the big donors, I'm not very familiar with.
Sure.
I know our home church that David Palmer and I attend at College Park on the north side of Indy mm-hmm. is a big support of us. They contribute, especially in the beginning days, they contributed heavily. But we are now at the place where we're self-sustained. Good. Now, we still take donations.
Sure.
Give us what you can give us. Recently, we had a couple of saw stops donated. A saw stop is a very high-tech table saw mm-hmm. that the technology is such that if you touch your finger to the blade, the saw will stop, and it might nick your finger, but it won't harm you.
Right.
So, and those are high dollar items. We've had two of those donated in the last year.
That is fantastic.
That's a game changer.
It is. So sure. We appreciate that kind of support from the community and businesses that buy our furniture. Salesforce just recently purchased, we built conference tables, mm-hmm. cafe tables, workspace desk, for four different levels of that tower. You know, it used to be the Chase Tower, and they got it, and four of those levels, they went in and remodeled it, made it for their purposes, and allowed us to build the furniture. And that's the single biggest contract we've had so far.
It's a fantastic. I mean, if you have a chance to go to Salesforce, you got to check out this furniture. It is fantastic, yeah. And kudos to Purposeful Design. That was a great vote of confidence. But you guys have fantastic woodwork. We also saw some of your work over at 12 Stars Media, friends of the show and the organization. Rocky Walls was a huge proponent of Purposeful Design. So
were fun to work with. They're very creative. Yes, we love to. My thing is, if you can draw it, we can build it.
Well, that's what I want to touch on, too, is the actual products that you are creating here. Because, like, every piece of wood and every piece of furniture you're creating, everything is unique and by hand, and everything is different than the last thing. So can you tell us how your team approaches each of these projects and kind of how they stay focused when there's so many different unique pieces going on?
Well, it's not easy.
Right.
And our shop director, named Justin Christian, he's... he's very good. He's very creative, and he is not willing to let any opportunity pass. And so he'll get it, and sometimes he'll sit down with me or the sales team, and we'll talk with the customers like, well, we can do this. We can't quite do that. But more than once, we've been handed a work order out in the shop, and I'm looking at this thing. It's like, what
is it?
And right now, we've got it's called a waterfall table. It's a large table that has continuing sides down. It is so big that I'm not sure how we're going to get it out the door, because we're in a small facility right now, and that's short-lived. We're going to move into a bigger facility.
It's all one piece, right?
It's all one piece. Yeah. It can't be dismantled. And actually, I was talking to the guys just the other day.
It's like, a hole in the wall.
How are we going to get this
out the door? But a lot of pieces like one that we're looking, it's integrated into it, is some pop-up, electronics for for your
audio, whatever. The feeds, all the electronic
all that
feeds.
Stuff that you're familiar with. But we're doing that kind of stuff. Some of the bases, that piece right there has a metal welded base. We did not build that. We hire that out. But in our new facility, because we have more room and we're really going to grow, we're going to take on our own metalworking.
Very cool.
We do build our own black pipe framework. We've got a pipe cutting and threading machine. And so we do a lot of that ourselves.
Very cool. Very cool.
So you do all the things.
Yes. Yeah. We do it all. And we do our own finishing. We've got a very crude looking spray booth that we built, but it works. And we've outgrown it, but it still works.
It's the job done.
The young man that does most of our finishing and spraying, he's just a fine young man named Vince. And he's got a family that lives just down there a few blocks from where we work. And he's part of our story of someone that found hope and opportunity, and he's doing well.
Very cool.
Good job.
So you just don't do work for companies. You do work for families as well.
Yes.
So how to wrap up? How could we get the goods? I know your team designed and create some stunning cutting boards. For instance, do we have you have some examples right there?
Check beautiful. That out.
Well, yeah. There's on the screen. There's we make hundreds of those, and just.
Well, and your Indiana wall art. I saw that on there too. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We just made one. We got some hardwood from a gymnasium somewhere here in Indiana that was being torn down. We got some of the planks from the wood.
Even.
Still had some of the painting, you know, the blue, the red, the black striping.
Yep.
We got a pile of that. And so one of the guys created an Indiana plaque using that.
It's very cool.
And in fact, it has some of the basic Indiana colors, you know, blue for Butler, red for IU, black for Purdue.
We won't talk about
Purdue.
I like Purdue. Yay.
All righty.
Anyway, but it's just, there's some of the stuff we do, just making lots of tops, like some of the jobs we with Salesforce, I think we built close to 90 large tops. And that gets kind of boring. It's just same big production work.
Right.
But then when the guys get a chance, we'll give them a little job that's more creative, that just allows them to kind of create and do something that feels good to them. And
so should people go through your website to try and make purchases?
Yes, pdindy.com, you'll find us, and or come visit us. We love to host visitors. You walk in on us, and We'll show you around and make you feel at home.
Very cool.
Our place is dusty and it's not pretty right now, but like I said, we're soon to move into a much nicer facility.
Well, I mean, on top of that, I mean, honestly, you don't want to have a super pretty facility because this is construction, right.
This is where
work is getting done.
Yeah.
But right. Highly recommend all of our watchers and listeners go check out pdindy.com. You can also follow Purposeful Design on Twitter at @PD_furniture. On Facebook, it's Purposeful Design Indy, and on Instagram, you also have PDindy as well. If I could ask you, Dan, what would be something you would say to other companies or organizations that are wanting to give back, wanting to be able to help those in need? Purposeful Design has been able to accomplish it, but you know there's a lot of companies that just don't know where to go to be able to do that type of outreach.
Great question. Oh, my, I wish we could explore this more.
Sure.
And I think marketing people could help us help answer that question in a big way, Aaron.
Yep.
Aaron, I'm serious. But what's one of the hardest parts about what we've done here at PD is we've started a ministry mm-hmm. that was needed, but it's also a business that needs to be self-sustaining.
Right.
The people that have supported us have said, this is what you need to do. And it is hard to do a startup business. How many small businesses just struggle to make it after 3 or 4 years.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But they're not, and they're hiring the best people they can find,
mm-hmm.
and they're all about just business decisions. Well, we're also handling something different. We're handling...
souls.
Souls, thank you.
Yep.
And the two often compete. So what I've thought at times is, what if an established business, some guys that have been in business for 20 years, mm-hmm. they're going strong, they could absorb a little bit of something else.
Right.
Take on two guys that come out of Wheeler,
right.
or another program like that, and bring them in as interns, as just, you know, and yeah.
Yep.
When you hire someone new, it takes a while. You invest money in them. It takes a while for them to, for you to recoup. But don't do it for that reason. Do it because these men need an opportunity. Give them 6 months, a year, however you want to establish this, and give these guys an opportunity. And if many businesses did that,
right,
we could knock this thing out.
The world would be different.
And
absolutely.
You know, in Indianapolis, the our zip code down there at where we're at 16th and Sherman area.
Sure.
It's called Brookside area. Mm-hmm. It is the highest poverty area in all of Marion County. So we're there, and we're there on purpose. We're, no pun intended. We're there by design to
yep.
reach those people because a lot of them don't have a driver's license.
Right.
Some of them
You went where the need was.
And we're staying there.
Yeah.
It'd be easier to go out somewhere and find even a safer area.
Yeah.
But we're not about that. We're about reaching these guys where they're at.
Well said. So giving people a chance and having programs in which we've had a number of shows where we've talked to companies that are doing just that. So it's great to be able to see that confirmation of this is effort that needs to be established by Indianapolis businesses mm-hmm. to be able to open up their doors to not just a particular workforce, but expand your options of workforce mm-hmm. and be able to train people and be able to give back into a career path. Absolutely.
Yep. So give a hand up.
Absolutely. Yep.
And just one for the ladies. You know, I've talked so much about the men that we're helping, mm-hmm. and at this point, the employees we take on are men.
Yep.
Will that change? I don't know, but our director's wife,
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Palmer, has for years ran a ministry down in the same area called Heart Change Ministries. And they reach out to the ladies. There's a lot of ladies in that area. There's a lot of single moms that
right.
really need help, encouragement. They need to know how to develop some life skills. So that's been going on for years. They need to be featured sometime on your show or
sure.
elsewhere. But so we're not just we're not being chauvinistic and saying the men need help. We don't care about the ladies. The ladies absolutely, and it's a lot of the ladies in these areas that are staying in the homes and raising the children, and they need a special blessing and help.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dan, for your time today, and kudos for the continued work and Purposeful Designs. And we're certainly going to lift up your brand and be able to give an example to Indianapolis. And we wish you all the best in the world.
Keep up the great work. Thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And who knows what we can do with you, because I'm really interested in some of this furniture here in this organization as well. So,
and I'll be getting a cutting board for my mom for Christmas.
There you are.
We'd love to help you. And come see us sometime.
I will. I absolutely will.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's a wrap for... Oh, you got to choose a winner. Hold on a second. We got to choose a winner. And I'm going to say the winner of the tickets to the Haunted House... What do you say, Brittany?
You pick.
I'm thinking. Let's say
TikTok, sir. TikTok.
Austin Gilman is going to be the winner. That was a good question, Austin. Thank you so much. And we're going to connect with you and give you a connection over to Haunted House and get you guys prepped for the Haunted House tickets. And hopefully we'll see you maybe coming up here. Thanks so much for everybody watching Edge of Indy today. What a great show and great stories to tell. A lot of passionate people. And this is what Edge of Indy is all about, is to be able to lift up and be able to showcase individuals all across Indianapolis. So thanks so much for your visit today at Edge of Indy. Be sure to watch us on Facebook Live, as well as make sure that you listen to our audio podcast and connect with us and let us know what you like and who we should be talking to in Indianapolis. So for myself, as well as Brittany, thanks so much. And we'll be catching you next time on Edge of Indy. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.